Good morning. My name is Janelle. I am on staff here at Christ Center. I've been on staff since 1994. That makes me sound really old. Just out of curiosity, who was not yet born in 1994? Holy, wow. Mike Kaiser, put your hand down. More like 04. Wow, that's amazing. Well, I've been super excited about this series on generosity, and I am really blessed to be able to jump in on week 4 and talk with you guys, because this is something I'm really passionate about and have grown to love in my life. So I just think I'm just really enjoying this series and these conversations that I'm having with a lot of you. So let's dive into the Gospels at Matthew 22, 37 through 39. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is a great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Right? We all probably can almost quote that scripture from our childhood, those of us that were raised in the church. The Message version says, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list. But there is a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are the pegs. Everything in God's law and the prophets hang from them. So think about that as pegs that everything is hanging from, right? So we're called to love ourselves. That's part of the great commandment that Jesus gave us. It's very challenging, but that passage in Matthew makes it pretty clear, in my opinion. The ways that we're called to love each other, we're supposed to love ourselves the same way. Do we prefer one another? Of course we do. Of course. That is what generosity towards one another is preferring one another, putting them ahead of ourselves. But we don't leave ourselves out of that generosity and grace that we offer to other people. I think for me, it's just a whole lot harder. Think about it like this, you guys. What if we secretly hate ourselves? If we get in, we refuse to think good things, to have grace for ourselves, generousness towards ourselves. We refuse to take care of ourselves, to think loving thoughts about ourselves. And that becomes a habit, and that type of habit is just what we're surfing on. And if we get in this habit, then in turn, how are we going to start thinking about other people, right? If we're in that critical mindset, eventually we're going to drag them down to this muck where we're living. We start judging them by the same harshness that we're judging ourselves. And the self-loathing or the hatred of ourselves turns into that towards other people. Maybe that's why Jesus phrases it this way. We must love ourselves if we're going to love others well. Andrew, you are right. Darn it. So, if you're hesitant about the idea of loving yourself well, being generous to yourself, think about it this way. Your love for others will be mirrored by your love for yourself. So it's not selfish. It's what Jesus is asking us and telling us to do. Another way he says it is in Luke 10:27. He said that you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. I don't like verses like that sometimes, right? Let's be honest, that's hard. There's a lot of days that's really hard, and I don't love it. So why do we bring this up? We've been talking, like I said, about generosity, giving generously toward our neighbors. The good neighbors, that's super easy. We have talked about this being a year of generosity, where we adjust our boundaries so we can give more to our neighbors and live in a healthy lifestyle that way. More of our time, as Pastor Joshua talked about 2 weeks ago, more of our wisdom, Jason was talking about last week, And as we go on, we'll be talking about generosity with our words, Jesus help me, with our attitudes, really help me, Lord, and our money and resources. All of this we're called to give to our neighbors. But based on the scriptures we just read together, if we're really called to be generous to our neighbors, we also must be generous to ourselves. How y'all doing with that? Me, not so good. So this is what we're talking about today, is generosity towards ourselves. Over the course of my life, I would probably give myself about a C- on this. It's definitely one of, if not the hardest area for me to live a generous lifestyle. I'm not naturally a generous person at all, and certainly not towards myself. But I have been surrounded in my life by generous people, and I've learned really well from them about being generous, and I've been really challenged, and I've had to work really hard to try to be a generous person. When I was about, 6, 7 years old, my brother and I had just had a birthday, and we both had some birthday money burning a hole in our pocket. And we talked and decided we wanted to ask Dad and Mom to take us out for a treat or dinner or something. And when we were that age, you know, it was the early 80s, you didn't really go out for treats, certainly not like you do now. So it was like a special thing. And so Dad and Mom said, okay, but you guys need to contribute some money towards this. So we're like, okay. So we ran to our rooms. My brother comes back with all of his money because he was just like too generous, honestly. And I'm borderline embarrassed to tell you, I came back with a quarter. So a quarter. I think I had more money than my brother, but I brought a quarter. So I remember, I was thinking about this story, and I remember about my parents exchanging a look and like, oh, I'm going to have to go get more money, just knowing. So that's what we're working with here, that seven-year-old that's like, here's my quarter, that's all I want to have to do with generosity, even though I want to receive. So that is what we're working with. Quarter Janelle. So let's think about Peter. Let's think about he being the one that walked with Jesus. He saw the miracles. You know, he saw loaves and fishes and the just all the miracles that Jesus did. And he was one of his main dudes, one of the closest disciples to him. But yet, he was the one that denied Jesus. He denied him and said, I don't know him. 3 times, not just once. Like, I could have grace for maybe him doing it once, but 3 times, even though he was like his best good pal, you know, 3 times, he threw him under the bus. He denied him and he ran away. Talk about a guy that needs to have grace and generosity for himself, right? He essentially did the unthinkable. He denied him. He did the thing. He promised Jesus, I'll never do that. I'll never do that. Think about how loyal he was to Jesus. And he's like, I will never do that. And he did. He did that. So fast forward a little bit. Picture when Jesus was on the shore and there's a couple of disciples out fishing. And Jesus called to them from the shore and said, Come eat breakfast. Well, before that, sorry. He told them to cast their nets to the other side. So again, experienced a miracle at Jesus' hands. Their nets were full. And then they came to the shore, and Jesus was making them breakfast. Peter was served breakfast by the one he betrayed. I can't even wrap my head around what he must have been feeling. Think about when, as the boat was getting closer to the shore, and it starts to dawn on him, that's Jesus, that's Jesus. If it was me, I would be freaking out, just like, I got to get out of this boat. I got to swim to the other side, I got to get away. Like, I feel like it would be so easy to go to that place of shame and guilt and condemnation. And you would want to get away. I'm imagining when Peter's on the shore, like, not making eye contact with Jesus, right? I mean, maybe mumbling something about, oh, I'm not hungry, I'm okay, or whatever. But Jesus was serving him. Jesus was restoring him and not bringing it up at this time. Think about those 3 days when Jesus was in the grave. What the heck was going on in Peter's head? You know, the ugly crying. You know, it says he was sobbing or controlling, sobbing uncontrollably, beating himself up. Can you guys imagine what he must have been thinking? I denied him. I denied my Savior. Oof. How did he feel? How long did it take him not to think about this every day? You know, when you do something bad or hurtful, you just ruminate over and over. How long, how many years of that? You know, I don't know. Did he still blame himself? Or did he give himself the generous grace that Jesus gave him? The generous grace Jesus gives me and he gives you. Jesus is so generous to us, you guys. He's so generous. And I think he's like, are you generous to you? So here's a few scriptures about Jesus' thoughts towards us. And he's calling us to believe these things too. Very famous passage, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give a future and a hope. Psalms 40, verse 5. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done for us, the things you planned for us. No one can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You guys, he thinks about us with love and tenderness. You know your faults. He knows our faults. And we do need to preach to ourselves, to repent when necessary, to give your best. But if we don't, we get stuck in that ditch of excuses. And we don't want to be on that ditch. But if we're not generous with ourselves, we get to the other ditch and have a different set of problems that we're dealing with. And that's the shame, the self-loathing. And so many of us, so often we get stuck in this ditch. So, how do I know if I need to give myself more generosity and grace? Just a couple of questions that I wanted to ask. Are you blaming yourself automatically for every negative situation in your life? Are you comparing yourself to others and always finding yourself short? Are you never satisfied with what you do? Do you analyze and criticize all your mistakes? I think these are good things to consider when we're looking at generosity to ourselves. Maybe we don't do all of them, but maybe one of them we own and really need the Lord to touch us in that area. So how then can we show generosity to ourselves? I would like to suggest that you give yourself the same compassion that you would to someone that you love. Give them that grace, that generosity, and release yourself from criticism and judgment. I think it's super important for us to ask for help. I think this is an area where you really want to help the people in your circle, like if they're beating themselves up, and just to pray with them. I'll tell you the times when I've humbled myself and asked for someone to pray, like, I cannot let this go. And it just breaks that hold over you, and it's super powerful when that happens. I think another way is to set healthy boundaries, utilizing that help, you know, and assess those boundaries of how am I doing with this with myself. Caring for your body is so important. In this insanely busy life that we lead, it's so important to rest, have fun, fuel your body, what that looks like for you, But again, being aware of the ditches on both sides of that, like, oh, I'm only going to eat garbage food all weekend, or nope, I can't possibly take a day off from working out. There's ditches both ways. I think one of the biggest ways, probably it's going to be the biggest way, in how we speak to ourselves is our inner dialogue. How do you speak to yourself, that inner critic? I believe that the enemy and your inner critic often go hand in hand. Just that negative self-talk that is so easy to do. So how does Jesus speak to you? How does the Comforter speak to you? Certainly not that way that the inner critic talks, right? Years ago, I was having a grand party with that inner critic, and it was, you know, it was a feast, and we were just having a conversation just about how terrible Janelle was and all the stupid stuff that I had done. And in that moment, I really clearly heard such a gentle question from the Holy Spirit, and it was, Janelle, would you talk to your friends that way? And I was scandalized, like, well, of course not, Jesus. I'm, you know, whatever, whatever. And then there was just silence. And then, oh, you know, it takes me a minute sometimes, right? That's what you mean. But I'll tell you guys, that was a pivotal moment for me to begin to realize, oh, that isn't okay. That's not okay. Like, I knew that, but you know how you get those revelations deeper down? And I just needed to examine how I was treating this daughter of God, to ask myself, am I believing what God says? Then am I giving myself grace and generosity to begin the process to believe what God says about me? And it's a journey. It's long and hard, and because that hamster wheel of negative talk is very much an entrenched habit in so many of us. Excuse me. So I have a couple of areas of life that I just want to suggest we offer more grace to ourselves, more grace to people around us, because I feel like they're extra hard. So the first one I wanted to talk about was parenting. It's the hardest and most important job in the world. A term that is kind of popular in our culture is mom guilt or dad guilt. And I can't imagine what a beast that is, right? It just never ends. Nothing you ever do is good enough. You're messing up these kids, blah, blah, blah. But I want to assure you that if your kid lost their backpack this week, actually, we have two in Lost and Found, by the way. Side note, I just pictured it. But it's not because you haven't taught them to be responsible, right? You are teaching them. That preteen brain does some weird stuff, and there's just a hole about a backpack. It doesn't mean you did not do your job well. So be generous to yourself. Maybe your teenage driver has a car accident. It doesn't mean that you didn't teach them to be a good driver. You know, at 16, they're overly confident. The roads are slippery in January. So be generous to yourself. If your kids aren't following Jesus like you hoped and prayed and dreamed, I want to encourage you to remind yourself that they get to make their own choices and extend yourself the grace you would another parent. Be generous to yourself in this. This is something that I feel super passionate about fighting against because I know it's such a beast. And if I could sit with you in those moments and like hold your cheeks and say, be generous to yourself. This isn't all your fault. Kids do things and they make mistakes, and be generous with yourself. So I want to encourage you guys, when you're in those moments, text a friend, text another parent, or text me and just say, help, you know, MG, mom guilt. And just get some prayer and start to cry out for help in that area, because it is a beast, I am sure. Another area where I think it's important to be generous to yourself is in aging. I am pushing 50 years old, pretty excited about that. And let me tell you, these hips do not work like they used to. And it's not because I've done something wrong necessarily. I could maybe exercise more, not maybe. I could exercise more, lay off some chips.
But I still need to be generous to myself. I mean, there's 50 years or 49 and a half years of walking on these legs, and this is part of life. I'm going to do everything I can to take care of my body, but this is also normal. So be generous to yourself with this aging, and it's tough to accept, oof, I can't do that anymore. Another one is in the area of grief. Man, it's tricky, isn't it? I feel like grief is so sneaky, and it catches you so off guard, and it is hard to be generous to yourself. Like, why am I still crying about this? It's been 3 years, or whatever. I think grief in areas of seasons of life, you know, the kids don't need you as much anymore, you have an empty nest, or whatever the season is, that stuff is hard. Maybe a friendship has ended, and you just need to grieve that for a while. Like, every time I went and did this thing, I was with that friend, and now there's this hole because that relationship has ended. Death, it's an obvious one, but allow yourself that generosity to maybe cry through a football game or have that sadness, and that's okay. Chronic illness, I think, is a huge one that brings grief in the most weird ways. It's hit our home, and there's been a lot of things where we just had to grieve the process of, well, we can't do that anymore, and Lord, what, help us in this. So I think it's important that we let ourselves feel all those feelings, not run away with it, of course. There's balance, of course, but it's okay to only be operating at 40% because of that grief and that weight. Maybe you're at 74% today and you're doing good, but it's okay. It's okay. We have to have generosity for ourselves in this. And I think if one of my dear friends came and told me they were having a hard day, I would have so much grace and generosity for them. It's like, dude, just sit in my living room and cry. Talk to me or don't. And it's easy to do for someone else, but we need to do that for ourselves as well. God is giving grace to you. He's giving generosity to you. He is setting the example for how to treat yourself. So lest you think I've fallen off into a new age world of, you know, only take care of yourself. I have not. Don't worry. This doesn't mean that we have an anything goes attitude, right? It just means we aren't beating ourselves up for our shortcomings, our mistakes. We are giving ourselves room to be human and to mess stuff up. So the Bible has a lot to say about what Jesus thinks about us, and he's calling us to believe those things too. We need to remind ourselves of this, that's healthy and good, and be generous with ourselves. And Jesus really, really loves you. And if you don't love you, love yourself, you are in a strong disagreement with him. That feels like a scary argument you probably don't want to pick, right? Excuse me. So I have just a few reasons that I would like to suggest why we have generosity for ourselves. The first one is, give yourself generosity so you can grow into what he created you to be. I'm guessing that never in all of humanity has anyone ever watched a baby take their first couple of steps and, you know, given them heck because they didn't stick the landing at the very first time, right? That's silly. That's just dumb. However, why do we do that for ourselves? Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that. Whatever. We expect ourselves to nail those first steps perfectly every time. But we're human, right? This tripping, this learning to walk is part of the process. We all overeat, overspend, use our tongue harshly. That's me. Or whatever this thing is that you spend time beating yourself up for, we all do it. It's like human nature that Jesus is working out in us. The enemy's working full time to get us self-absorbed and then turns on us and lets you know what a horrible person that you are. The enemy and your own inner critic work together, I think. It just never ends. The verse, the voice that lies, and those things that we rehearse and begin to believe. I want to assure you that Jesus never speaks to us this way, ever. Like, he brings correction, but even in the correction, it's gentle. There isn't shame or criticism coming from him. That garbage thinking isn't coming from Jesus. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the comforter. My inner critic does not bring me comfort, let me tell you. In Romans 8, it says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You've been given mercy. You are not a convict. You are not condemned. That's what Jesus is saying there. That's so beautiful. We just need to spend time thinking about that one. We're taking responsibility for our actions and for the things that we do. We're not beating ourselves up for how we didn't do them perfectly or rehearsing all the stuff we did or didn't do. The next thing I would like to suggest is to give yourself generosity and grace so you don't get in the way of what God is doing in you and through you. So let's jump back to Peter here. So it was one of the biggest moments of his life. Up until that point, I would suggest it was. And he blew it. Absolutely laid an egg. How do you come back from something that big? You know, we haven't necessarily denied Jesus like this. But how do you come back from that? Jesus restored him. But think of that process of how much Peter probably was beating himself up. What was the temptation Peter faced with being generous to himself, extending grace to himself? I was thinking, imagine those days and Peter was, you know, in the market and overhear someone talking about it. Did you hear what he did? Did you hear what he said? But yet Jesus was so generous to him. How can Peter be generous towards himself? So what is our posture, perspective, moving forward from a situation that we can't stop beating ourselves up for? Because that's hard. But think about, you guys, all the things Peter did after this. It was a lot. It was a lot of amazing things. And if he can be restored for doing the worst and come back from that, I feel confident we too can partner with what Jesus is doing in us and through us. Thirdly, I want to say, give yourself generosity and grace to enjoy the journey and the process. Yikes. I'm such a task-oriented person. This one is really hard for me. I'm like, give me a checklist, check it off, on to the next thing. Like, let's just keep moving, just, you know, full steam ahead. But that isn't always the way. Years ago, Merlin Red Crab used to tell me this a lot. Janelle, don't take yourself too seriously. Ugh, used to drive me crazy. In my 20s, I was super annoyed. I'm like, what are you saying? What do you mean? What are you seeing in me that you can just tell me? Just tell me so I can fix it. Let's get on with it. I love checklist red. I need 3 easy steps of how to stop taking myself so seriously. And I just didn't understand it. And it happened often, probably more than I care to admit. And I just didn't get it. But as I continued on working with him and just, you know, grappling with that and carrying on through life, I began to very slowly understand what this meant. I began to realize, oh, this stumbling around, not doing it perfectly, making mistakes, is the beauty of the journey. This is where the good stuff happens. This is where my character is built and the beautiful part is. So rather than spending all this time beating myself up for getting it wrong, saying something stupid, I began to extend myself the grace of generosity, to have the perspective of, okay, well, now that I have this information and learned this, I can do it differently next time. In the meantime, I can choose to be generous with myself, laugh at my mistake, or just let it roll off my back. Like, okay, I'll get it next time. And let me tell you, that is hard. I'm a perfectionist. So as I began to be generous towards myself, I sure did enjoy the process a whole lot more. And let me tell you, he was right. Darn it, I have to admit it, Red was right again. It is way better to be on this side of not taking myself too seriously. I laugh a whole lot more, and mostly don't care about the dumb stuff I do. Mostly, you know, Thursday I had a doozy that I'm still undoing. But it's so much better over here to just be like, okay, well, I'll get it next time. So as we begin to pass out the assessments that we've been doing the last few weeks, I just want to invite you to really be honest with yourselves, where you're at with this. I think that it can be a lot easier. Obviously, as we get older, this stuff is easier, but as I was preparing for this, just thinking, oh yeah, this area, I am still not showing myself one speck of honesty. And ask, how are you at giving yourself the generosity that the scripture instructs us to do? Where do you need to ask Jesus for his help to be generous with yourself? So I want to encourage you today, as we're thinking, we'll close in prayer together, but just ask the Lord to begin to speak to you, to show you what it is he wants to say about this. Maybe this is an area where it's like, no, I'm good, and that's okay. You can just sit and pray for those of us that it isn't as good. But we're just going to take a couple of minutes now and look at this together.